Coming up this time on The Green Jumper, special memories of the Miracle Manager.
He was an absolute master at preparing you for games. You know, here we are, 2 years after being promoted, we've won the league and now we're in the European Cup final. Incredible.
There's the story of Cluffy's emergency goalkeeper.
We actually won the game 1-0. Emphasis on the nil.
Yes. He kept a clean sheet.
Yes. I think I did punch one or two of our defenders when crosses came into the box, but, you know, yeah. I was new to the job.
Yeah, exactly.
And why Cluffy's trip to Jersey eventually backfired.
It was the longest trip ever. It was a drag. Because of the result that followed, it became the worst trip ever.
All that and many more great stories coming up in this episode, including lots of laughter.
I think my favourite memory of him is his humour. You know, forget the football, which he was fantastic at, but he could be very, very funny.
Hello, I'm Marcus Alton from the tribute website brianclough.com. And for this Green Jumper podcast, I've come to a Football Legends event in Nottinghamshire. I'm actually in a back room at the event, so it's a little bit echoey, but that's not going to be a problem because my guest is one of Brian Clough's European Cup heroes, a player that Cluffy once said was worth £1 million. And he's sitting next to me now. It's hello to Ian Bowyer.
Hello, Marcus. How are you?
Yeah, all the better for seeing you. You're looking in good health.
Well, we do our best, but I try and do some exercise and keep in some degree of shape. But it's old age. Everybody has to have it, don't they?
Well, you're looking good on it anyway. Now, that £1 million comment I mentioned from Cluffy came after your crucial goal against Cologne in the second leg of the European Cup semi-final. Did you get a pay rise after that?
He said after the match, that goal is worth millions of pounds to this club. And that will be reflected in the next pay rise you come in for. Well, I'm still waiting for that pay rise. So, yeah.
Enough said. Well, we'll talk more about that memorable goal in Germany later on. But you were always used to scoring goals, weren't you? Because you began your career as a forward?
I began my career at Manchester City. And I played 50-odd games for Manchester City. I was always a teenager when I played. I didn't play any games as a... I'd left when I was 20. Or should I say, they got rid of me when I was 20. I was a striker. And I could score goals. I could head the ball. I could shoot. And that's why I was in the team at Man City, yeah.
You joined straight from school, actually, Man City, and ended up playing in the League Cup final, I think, as a sub, just 18 years old. How did you cope with all that so soon?
It's the kind of thing, when you're that young, you, in one respect, you don't know any downsides because it's all brand new to you. So thinking about, what can go wrong, and it doesn't really enter your mind. You just think, wow, I'm playing at Wembley, or I'm going to be involved at Wembley. So that was 1970. And the same season, I was I got on as a substitute in the European Cup Winners' Cup final against Gornik in Vienna. So in the year 1970, I won a League Cup medal and a European Cup Winners' medal. So, very, very young, very naive, thought it would happen every week. As you get older, you realise it doesn't happen every week. But great, great times, great memories.
And Dave Mackay signed you for Forest from Orient in 1973, but I think he left very soon afterwards. And so that must have been quite an unsettling time for you.
It was. I played two games for Dave. My debut was away at Blackpool, and the whole game was against Hull at home, I think. And I asked him, because there was all the paper talk, was there any truth in him going to Derby and of course Davies? No, it's just paper rubbish. And 2 games later, he was off. So, but that's football. It's you just have to roll with what's going, and you know, no matter who comes in, the game is still the same, and you know, what you do, what you're good at, what you're not so good at, doesn't change because you've got a different manager. So we got Alan Brown in from, I think he'd been manager at Blackpool for a while.
And, of course, taking over eventually from Alan Brown was Brian Clough, walking in 1975, January of that year. Did you sense at that time big things were about to happen, big things were around the corner?
I did, because of the profile he had, obviously with Derby winning the league and him being on television, a World of Sport and all the rest of it. So, yeah, you just knew that things would change and change for the better. And we had a lad called Barry Butlin on the staff, playing staff at the time, and I can remember asking him how things would change. He said, wherever it's going to change, it'll all be for the betterment of the club. And how right he was.
Exactly, and it wasn't long before you were scoring against your old club, Orient, in the Anglo-Scottish Cup to win that trophy, 1976, that one. I think quite an important piece of silverware, even though it wasn't a well-known trophy at the time.
It was good for us, because winning does become a habit, and that was the start of our winning trophies, and it brought us together. We were going up to Scotland. I remember playing at Ayr. I think we played at Kilmarnock, and you know, we became very, very tight group, and we got promoted, and you know, continued to progress, and we bought a few players in, a few went out, and we became a better team, and eventually we became a team that was good enough to win the First Division title. So, yeah. But the Anglo-Scottish one was the start of it all, and very, very important.
Cloughy must have thought a lot of you at that time, because obviously, you know, some players did leave, but you were one of those that stayed. And I was looking, in the 1979 Nottingham Forest annual, you're described as Mr. Versatility. Because of the different positions you played on the field, really. Was that a label you were happy with?
Well, that just meant I could play badly anywhere. it was the kind of label that you want and you don't want at the same time. It's nice to be considered to be able to play a position and to do that well. And midfield was my position. But yeah, I did play my versatility. I played, can you believe it, right back, left back. Yeah. I think the only positions I didn't play, I did have a couple of emergency spells in gold. I think the only positions I didn't play were centre backs. I never played centre back.
Right.
You had to be 6'3", or look like Kenny Burns to play a centre half.
Yeah. With your stamina, getting around the park was really no problem. So I guess centre-back wasn't really a position made for you. But I was looking in the records, and over an 8-day period in March 78, you deputised for Viv Anderson at right-back at West Brom.
Yeah.
On the Tuesday, you were centre-forward against Leicester because Peter Withe was suspended. And then the following Saturday, you played midfield against Liverpool in the League Cup final of all matches. That must have been quite a week.
Well, it didn't mean that much to me to be playing in different positions. I mean, we used to talk at the time, and I always remember we had a dear old trainer called Jimmy Gordon, and he used to say, if you're a footballer, you're a footballer, and you can play different positions. And I like to think that I could do that. But yeah, it was It was a busy week.
Yeah. How did it go in goal? Because you did have a spell, I think, when John Middleton got injured and you had to go in goal.
I played in goal twice. The first time was away at Oxford United in the second division that was. And John Middleton got injured and I went in goals. And I can remember we actually won the game 1-0. Emphasis on the nil.
Yes. You kept a clean sheet.
Yes. I think I did punch one or two of our defenders when crosses came into the box, but, you know, yeah. I was new to the job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Part of the learning. And then the second time, I think we went to Leicester. It would be round about 85-ish, maybe 86. And either Leicester or us, we were 1-2 in the first division. I think it was Bamber or was it Sutton? Steve Sutton got injured.
Yep.
And I went in goals. We lost that one. I think we lost 4-2. And my memory is Gary McAllister, who was playing for Leicester got a penalty and he took it the first time and I saved it.
Oh.
And the referee let him take it again, said I moved.
Wow. Had you done your homework on him?
Oh, yes, I'd have been up all night. The second time he took it, I saved it again. But it rebounded out to Gary McAllister and he put the ball, me and everything in the back of the net. So
typical.
Yeah. So twice I played in goals. Yeah. And I didn't particularly enjoy it.
No.
You see the game from a different viewpoint altogether.
Yeah. You can see what Peter Shilton had to put up with and why he was so good, really.
Yes.
Yeah. When it comes to relaxation for the players, Cluffy was well known for taking you away for maybe a sunshine break somewhere, bit of sun on your back. How important was that for you and the team?
Well, I think it's common knowledge now that the top athletes, the Olympic athletes, they go away and do warm weather training and there has to be something in it. Perhaps we were ahead of the game in terms of understanding that. We used to not get knocked about on the training ground. We used to save most of our energies for the game. And he was an absolute master at, preparing you for games. It's the old story, isn't it? Once the glass is empty, you've no more to give, then, you know, you are far better to save a little bit. And we saved from game to game and we didn't get hammered at the training ground. We saved our strength and our energies for the big games.
In fact, I think he used to tell players off if they trained too much, didn't he?
Yeah, I can remember him telling Frank Clark off if Frank had been training. Yeah.
Now, while we're talking about breaks away, I've got a picture here of the team 1980. Okay. And there you are with the rest of the team on the sand dunes in Jersey before the League Cup final.
Yeah, against Wolves.
Do you remember that?
I do. It was the longest trip ever. It was a drag. It was, honestly, it was probably, because of the result that followed, it became the worst trip ever. But I can remember it distinctly because it was the week that Cheltenham races were on. And footballers being footballers, we want to sit in front of the television and watch Cheltenham races. Well, there were Peter and Brian. We ended up going here, there and everywhere. We were proper tourists. But, yeah, we didn't enjoy it too much. I think that's fair to say. Yeah.
And you were there's even pictures of you, like, doing exercises on the beach as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was really unusual, surely.
Well, we improvised, you know, if we... There is a story, obviously, of the 1980 pre-match training for the 1980 European Cup final in Madrid, and Peter Shilton needing to do some goalkeeping work and ended up doing it on a roundabout. Not I have to say, not a very busy roundabout,
no,
but roundabout
you.
Nonetheless.
Yeah, it was just one of those eccentricities you just had to get used to, I guess.
Yeah.
But it worked most of the time.
It worked most of the time, but not on this particular occasion.
No, because you lost the League Cup final the following Saturday.
In a strange manner, we did, yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll take a short break there, but we'll be back with more memories from Ian Bowyer, including that vital goal against Cologne in the European Cup.
And that gives me the opportunity to let you know there's a special discount for Green Jumper listeners on my latest book, Brian Clough, The Lost Tapes. Visit the shop on brianclough.com and use the code GREEN15 for 15% off the book, and I can sign it personally for you as well. It's supporting good causes and it's received some great reviews so far. Thanks very much for those. So that's code GREEN15, GREEN15 at checkout for 15% off.
Marcus, good afternoon to you. It's not a very good afternoon, actually. It's pouring down, but it's nice to see you.
I'm back with one of Cluffy's European Cup legends, Ian Bowyer. Now, when we talk about the European Cup, we've got to talk about that goal against Cologne in the semi-final second leg. But before we do, you had scored, hadn't you, in the first leg, that 3-3 battle?
The 3-3 battle at the City Ground was probably the most exciting football match I've ever taken part in. We were 2-0 down. We get 3-2 up, including a John Robertson header and an Ian Bowyer right footer.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese boy, Okadira, comes on and scores an equaliser for Cologne. And, you know, the next day's headline is Jap sub sinks Forest. But we were never of that opinion. We thought we'd go there and put up a really good show, despite what all the media were going to say. And, we were going along and we were doing okay. And then I think it was about the 69th minute.
Yeah.
We got a corner and John Robertson chipped the ball to the near post. Gary Birtles flicked it on and I got my head to it and put it in the net. And we survived the last 20 minutes. Peter Shilton made a great save right near the end, and we were in the final, which was fantastic. You know, here we are, 2 years after being promoted, we've won the league, and now we're in the European Cup final.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Obviously, Cluffy at the time had said, "I hope anybody's not stupid enough to write us off." Was that the message that he was telling you?
Absolutely, that was the message. But I don't think we needed telling that much because we were a decent team. We didn't defend particularly well on the night. We had one or two lads that had come back into the team for the second leg. So we thought we were stronger team than the first leg. And we managed to defy all the media.
And that's when, of course, Cluffy said you were worth £1 million for that goal. You must have felt $1 million as well, really, to get that sort of praise.
Well, yes, it's always nice that any manager gives you a bit of praise and a bit of credit. It goes a long way. So we all need a little tonic and... Yeah, that was great.
You always had a good relationship with him, didn't you, on the whole? Is that right?
I got off to a bad start with him. Not a bad start, but I was out of contract when he came in 1975, in the summer of 1975. And I told the PFA what was happening in terms of the offer that the club had made me. And the PFA said, "That's all right, you can have a free transfer, you can just walk away." Mm. Now, at the time, I was playing up front, and we went to pre-season tour of Northern Ireland, and we scored 6 goals. I scored 5, and the other one was an own goal. So I'm in dispute about contract, although I think now I'm in a stronger position. And the club appealed against the free transfer I had, and we went to a meeting in Lancaster Gate, the FA, in London. Myself and Ken Smales, the club secretary, came with me on the train, and Brian was driven to London by his mate. And I can remember Brian didn't particularly want to go into this meeting. I think he had the famous green on, a pair of shorts, at Lancaster Gate.
Nice.
And I do remember when our case had finished, we all walked out together, and I can remember the taxi driver shouting to Brian, Cluffy, have you lost your dugout? So I don't think he particularly enjoyed the day, but we managed to agree on something, and I'm thrilled and delighted to say that, it was the best thing I ever did was to stay.
Right. Well, less than a year after all the European success, you were transferred to Sunderland in January 81. And I've got a copy of Shoot magazine from February 81, in which a fan has a letter on the letters page about you. It's headlined Forest Boob, with a picture of you just above it there. And the letter...
Needless to say, I wasn't the Forest
you
Boob.
You weren't the Forest Boob.
That's all right, just no. letting
well,
you...
Well, I'll clarify I'll clarify that now. You were far from the Forest Boob, because the letter says... I think Clough and Taylor have made a very bad mistake in selling Ian Bowyer. If it hadn't been for Ian's experienced and talented play, Forrest wouldn't have had so much success. And the author of that letter is me.
Marcus Alton, Loudon. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And all these years, I've always wanted to show you this.
Great.
And I got it published in Shoot magazine. What do you think to that?
Fantastic. So no, it's just a. I think at the time, we'd been knocked out of the cup, the European Cup, by the Bulgarian team Sofia. And so the club had a kind of a rethink. Many of us in the team were getting older, and we were getting older together. So in no time at all, we lost the likes of Larry, John McGovern, I think, went to Bolton. Of course, obviously, Frank had gone. So I was one of the ones that they could basically get a fee for. The club needed the money, and it suited both parties. I wasn't just going to Sunderland, I was going to Sunderland, who at the time, the assistant manager was Frank Clark.
Ah.
So that was my connection in going to Sunderland.
Yes.
But
the letter goes on to say, I don't think Bowyer will settle down and perform as well with Sunderland as he did at Forest. And of course, a year later, you were back. What happened there?
Well, my time at Sunderland, I think I'm right in saying I played 13 games. And I got injured. I got the really, really, the only, if you like, seriously injury I had in my whole career. I ruptured a medial ligament in my right knee. And I was out for about at least 4 or 5 months. So I didn't play that much. And then whilst I was in hospital, Frank Clark and the manager, Ken Knighton, they were dismissed. So it didn't take me long to get rid of Frank. Mm. And Alan Durbin came in, and I didn't particularly get on with Alan.
But, of course, you returned to Forest.
Yes, I did. You
had some wonderful days. And as an experienced player, helping to bring on some of the youngsters,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, I mean, results. We did okay. My second time then, we did well enough. We got into the semi final of the UEFA Cup, which, rightly or wrongly, we lost. But there was also, for me, the satisfaction out of watching so many young players come through. You know, I could go through them all. You know, from.
You were there with Pierce and...
I was there with Stuart Pierce and Ian Butterworth came at the same time. You could talk about Chris Fairclough, Des Walker, Stephen Hodges, Peter Davenport, Nigel Clough, loads of them.
What was it like playing with Nigel, being the son of the manager?
Well, Nigel was great. He was a really talented footballer. And I think it's fair to say he didn't enjoy running that much. So I was always thinking that our pre-season used to exist of miles and miles round Woolerton Park, uphills and down dales and all the rest of it. And I have a feeling that once Nigel came, we didn't do so much of that. But we played more games. We played more friendly games, more games. So it became more match-related as opposed to Wollaton Park-related.
Yeah, good.
But no, a terrific player.
Yeah, yeah.
And could score goals for fun, yeah.
Well, eventually at your testimonial, I've got a picture here from the Nottingham Post with Cluffy giving you a kiss on the cheek there. Yeah. When you look at that and you think of all those times with Brian, what's your sort of favourite memory of him?
I think my favourite memory of him is his humour. You know, forget the football, which he was fantastic at, but he could be very, very funny. He's just a treat. I always say that with Brian, 99% of 100 would play for him again.
And you would?
Oh, I would. I'm not going to say who the exception was.
No. Well, Ian Bowyer, it's been a fantastic pleasure, and thanks for sharing your memories today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And thanks to you for listening. If you'd like to send your tribute about Cluffy, use the email link on the website and I'll give you a mention in a future episode. You can also show your support by donating to the running costs of the podcast through a donation link on the podcast page of the website. And I'm pleased to say the Green Jumper is going on tour, so look out for special events coming up and I hope to see you there. All the details on brianclough.com. Thanks again, and I hope you can join me next time for more memories of the great man in the Green Jumper.